Blog Talk Radio.
Defending conservative values and the Constitution of the United States. You're about to be on the Sig Knowledge Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to the Sig Knowledge Show right here on Blog Talk Radio and the New Colony Network. Glad to have you with us this week. We're going to be talking about a subject matter tonight that should be very familiar to everybody in this country. At least it should be. It's about a position of a lawman called the sheriff. And we're going to be telling you exactly where the sheriff came from and exactly how much authority a sheriff has. But you would be surprised how many people today do not know the extent of the authority of your county sheriff. It will boggle your mind. And the things I'm going to tell you tonight is going to be very informative. I'm going to tell you things about the county sheriff, where it came from, its authority, and we're going to tie it into some very, very interesting facts. We're going to tie it into something called posse comitatus, the Second Amendment, and its relevance to the militia. And that's coming up in the show. I want to thank my guest, 5015, there in the chat room. I want to thank my guest for being in the chat room and my caller from the 310. Thank you for calling in and listening to the show, because I know you're going to like this show. And you're going to be sure and download it so that way you can listen to it over and over again. And maybe even as a study aid to some school kids, so they'll know exactly what the sheriff is, where it came from, and its great importance in U.S. history and its continuing importance today. So, without further ado, I know a lot of you are probably wondering, now, with recent events that's happened in the United States, where you have civil unrest like what we just saw in Baltimore, and protests in New York, and Chicago, and Los Angeles, and all over, would this tie into what the sheriff's duties are? Actually, yes, but we're going to go into that later on in the show. But without further ado, let's talk about the sheriff. Now, every one of us have watched the old Western movies, and you see the sheriff walking down Main Street, whatever, back in the 1800s, and he's there. He's got his six-shooter strapped to his hip, and he's got his 10-star there over his left side. And he's the lawman, and it signifies the sheriff, and his deputies have a badge. And we've all seen these time and time and time again in Western movies. And then, well, when he's got to go out and chase after the bank robbers or whoever it is, and he needs a lot of guys, then he forms together what's called the Sheriff's Posse. Does that sound a lot like something called Posse Comitatus? Well, if it does, you're correct. It does. I want to say hello to Johnny there in the chat room. I always like to say hello to my guests there because, you know, they did take the time to join the show. Hello, Johnny. Glad to have you on the show there tonight, sir. Well, anyway, we've all seen this ever since we was a little kid. At least I'm going to be 51 years old this summer, and at least I grew up watching Westerns. Now, they do have a lot of Westerns on, like American Movie Classics and Turner Classic Movies and stuff like that. It's, you know, it's not really something that's really produced anymore, except, you know, as of late, let's see, there was a remake of 310 to Yuma with Christian Bale and Russell Crowe, and movies like The Quick and the Dead with Sharon Stone and Russell Crowe and Gene Hackman. And, you know, that's today's form of a Western movie. But they all have one thing in common. You got the good guys, you got the bad guys. Generally speaking, the sheriff is the good guy. He is the lawman of the town, or in this case, a county. So now, where did the term sheriff come from? Okay, here we go. It's going to be kind of a history lesson, but just bear with us. I'm going to try not to make this boring to you. I'm going to try to make this very informative and to keep your attention. Where the term sheriff came from? We're going to go all the way back to 9th century England. Now, just a reminder now, the United States came into being as British colonies. These were British subjects that immigrated across the Atlantic over to the New World to colonize the Americas. And one of the things that they brought with them as part of what's called the Old English Common Law. Now, you've heard that term, common laws. When you hear something in the United States today that's called, well, by common law, those were actually laws that they brought with them from England, what's called the Old British Common Laws. Like, for example, you've heard the term common law marriage. If a man or a woman live together for, I believe it's a period of 7 years, then you are said to have what's called a common law marriage, wherein now if one decides to leave the relationship, the other one can sue for support. So anyway, that's just one. And the sheriff, the term sheriff, the office of sheriff, actually comes out of the Old English Common Law. Now, where did that term come from? Well, it goes all the way back to Anglo-Saxon England, and the word sheriff is actually a combination of two words. It's a combination of the word shire, S-H-I-R-E, which today we call a county. And does that name ring familiar to you in like places in England like Yorkshire, Staffordshire, places like that? Shire means county. And reeve, R-E-E-V-E, which means a guardian. So you have a county guardian. In other words, the guardian of the county, that being the sheriff. Now, in those days, sheriffs were political appointees, or they were appointed by the king. Now, when we're talking about 9th century England, we're talking about King Alfred the Great. But there was a lot of things going on. My caller from the 323 there, glad to see you on the show. Glad to have you on the show there. Glad to see you. And, you know, he was the county guardian, and they were appointed by, you know, by the crown. Usually a lower-ranking nobleman like a baron or a viscount. And the sheriff in that county, they led what was called the Shire's Militia, or in this case it would be the Sheriff's Militia, as part of King Alfred's reorganization of his national defense, which ultimately protected England from Danish invaders and marauders that were coming across the English Channel. That was the principal purpose for the office of sheriff, and the sheriff was actually in command of the militia in that county. Starting to ring a bell, isn't it? Doesn't that sound awfully familiar with what we've been talking about today concerning the militia, the sheriff, Second Amendment? And now we're going to throw in something else. We're going to throw in Posse Comitatus, but we're getting up to that. So now you know where the root of the word sheriff came from. I'm sure you're finding that very interesting, aren't you, folks? Okay, now, by the time the American colonies were settled, you know, late 1600s into the 1700s, the office of sheriff in England was starting to decline. But when the colonists came across the Atlantic, they brought a new energy. They revived the office of sheriff. Because, now, you got to remember, they're coming over to basically an untamed wild country where you had native people that were already here. And no telling who else is going to try to come over and exploit people who were so far away from their home country. So now the Americans, they restored what they considered to be the ancient Anglo-Saxon practice of popular election of sheriffs. Now remember that sheriffs are lawmen, but they are elected by the people. Now how many times have you heard me say this on my shows? The sheriffs are, they answer directly to the people because they are elected by the people. And at the end of their term, if they haven't served us to our satisfaction, we have a remedy for that. It's something called our vote. Now, that's a big distinction between a sheriff and, say, a police chief who's a political appointee. The sheriff is elected by the people, comes from the people, elected by the people, to be the guardians of the people in his or her county. Now, way back when, there was no such thing as a female sheriff. It was a very male-dominated society back then. Now, of course, today things are different. And thank God, because there are women that are very good sheriffs. They are very, very well qualified to hold the office of sheriff. But the colonists, when they brought that from England, they revived the office of sheriff. And its importance, I cannot stress this enough, that how many times on my shows have I talked about the way to bring America back to its greatness is not from the top down, not from Washington, D.C., which is important. But if you really want to build a strong foundation in the country, you have to start at the grassroots level, i.e. the local level. That's going to be your city council, your mayor, and most importantly of all, the most important elected official at the county level is your sheriff. And why it is so important that your sheriff be a constitutional sheriff. When I say constitutional, I'm talking about a sheriff that steadfastly and vehemently defends the Constitution of the United States. Because if you look on the show page, it says the sheriff, guardian of the Constitution, guardian of the Constitution. Because they are our frontline defense against tyranny and oppression from the government. And I want to say hello to Michael that has came into the chat room. And thank you for joining, Michael. Glad to have you on the show tonight. Feel free, type in any question you have and or just dial in and press 1 if you want to get on the air. And if you have a question, comment, or concern. But anyway, Michael, glad to see you in the show there tonight. Glad to have you with us. So now, I've told you where the word sheriff came from. It's etymology. And what the colonists did, they brought that with them over to the New World. Now, it should be noted that the office of sheriff has the powers, the enumerated powers of the office of sheriff really hasn't changed much in all of these hundreds of years. It really hasn't changed much. Now, whether that's overlooked or because the office of sheriff is that important, and I am a firm believer that the best way to affect change in this country and return to our core principles and the principles of our founding fathers as enumerated in our Constitution is the election of a constitutional sheriff. A sheriff that respects and upholds the Constitution of the United States, unlike the president and the administration we have in office now that has absolutely no respect for the Constitution, in fact has nothing but disdain and resentment for the Constitution, because our Constitution, the Constitution is actually a limiter on the federal government. It actually, most of it says what the federal government cannot do and that everything else is reserved to the states and the people, including things like the sheriff and the militia. So that's where the sheriff, that's where the term sheriff came from. And sheriffs have something else that police chiefs don't have. It's something called autonomy. Now, you've heard me say on many of my shows that a sheriff can, on their own authority, call up the militia in their county if they feel the situation warrants it. They have the absolute authority to do this. And you're wondering, how do they have that absolute authority to do this? It's something called posse comitatus. Now, many of you have heard that term, posse comitatus. You've heard that. You know it has to do with the military. In fact, it's Title 18 of the United States Code. Posse comitatus. That's Latin. What it actually means, posse comitatus, means the power of the county. Posse comitatus. And who is the highest ranking civilian authority in any county in the United States? Did the word sheriff come to mind? Because if you said that, you're absolutely right. What is posse comitatus? Well, if you want the textbook definition of posse comitatus, we'll go back to it. The Posse Comitatus Act was signed on June 18, 1878 by President Rutherford B. Hayes, and the purpose of the act, in concert with the Insurrection Act of 1807, was to limit the powers of the federal government in using its military personnel to act as domestic law enforcement personnel. In other words, using the military to act like cops. And it was passed as an amendment to an Army appropriation bill back in the day, following the end of the Reconstruction era, which was the era right after the U.S. Civil War, and was subsequently updated in both 1956 and 1981. Okay, now why is that important? Posse comitatus. That means that the federal government cannot use the Army as cops inside the United States. And also, now, when they originally wrote posse comitatus, it was intended for the Army, the infantry. Now, since then, it's been extended to the Marine Corps and the Navy. They can't be used inside the United States under posse comitatus. Now, here's who is excluded from posse comitatus. The National Guard, when they are in use, state use. In other words, when the state has called up their National Guard, okay, posse comitatus doesn't apply to them. Nor does it apply to the United States Coast Guard, because the United States Coast Guard is actually part of the Department of Homeland Security. So now, and the United States Coast Guard does have both land and maritime policing authorities. So posse comitatus doesn't apply to the Coast Guard either. Now, I've told you that posse comitatus means the power of the county. And the highest elected official, civilian authority in a county is the sheriff. Now, what is posse comitatus? It means power of the county. So now we're going to revert back again. We're going to talk about how the sheriff, back in the Old West days, formed something called a posse. Very simply put, he was forming a very piece of a militia, handpicked by him, because remember, a sheriff has autonomy. He can decide who he wants to bring up, what weapons he wants them to have, and how many of them. Complete autonomy. The posse was, in fact, part of a select militia. But he was summoning the power of the people in the county. The sheriff has that authority to require the aid of armed citizens in their county. This is a fact, people. This is not conjecture. It's not speculation. It's not opinion. This is an absolute fact. The sheriffs have that authority in and of themselves to enlist the aid of armed citizens to help him effect arrests, serve warrants, and to keep the peace. And this is why all of this ties into posse comitatus, the Second Amendment, militia. And we're going to put it all together tonight in the show. We're going to put it all together for you. So that way, hopefully, it'll make a lot more sense to you. And you'll have a lot more respect for the sheriff of your county. Because they actually have far greater authority than what you realize that they do. Now, we don't, you know, the colonists, they brought this over from England. And, it came from England, the old English common law. And now, the core power of the sheriff really hasn't changed, you know, in all of these hundreds of years. It really hasn't changed. You know, they are elected by the people. They are the chief law enforcement, chief civilian authority in a county. And they have nearly unlimited discretion. They can summon the posse, and the citizens must respond. Moreover, it used to be back in the day that if the sheriff summoned you, it was considered an honor and a privilege and a duty, much like serving on a grand jury or much like serving on jury duty. It was your civic duty and responsibility, and moreover, it was an honor and a privilege to be able to do that, to go and assist your county sheriff when he needed your help. It was part of being a good citizen. Now, obviously, things have changed over the last several hundred years, or since the 1700s here in the colonies, you know, the 1600s, 1700s. A lot of things have changed. We're a lot more populous country, advances in technology, especially weaponry, surveillance, communication. But the sheriffs still retain that power of posse comitatus. Now, as of late, and my show's about Jade Helm 15, many people argue, and I do believe it's a valid argument, that what the United States government is doing with Jade Helm and these unprecedented special forces exercises that are going from coast to coast, many people are actually saying that this violates posse comitatus. You can't use the military in this function to act like cops. Now, they say they're doing terrain training. Some people believe that they're actually training as a prequel to organized martial law. Now, what I believe this is, as I've said on my shows, I don't believe that the U.S. Special Forces are training to fire on American citizens. I do, however, believe that they are trying to get up close to the people, and especially to try to assess how strong the militia is. How much do they know? Where they do what they do? Why they do what they do? Now, I do firmly believe that that's what they're doing. Now, as far as the sheriff of a county is concerned, and remember, the entire states of Utah and Texas have been labeled as hostile, as well as counties in Southern California. All of these places have counties, and every one of those counties has a sheriff in them as the chief civilian authority in that county. Now, the Army says that they are working with local and state law enforcement authorities concerning the coordination of Jade Helm. How some people will see people meandering around that'll look suspicious. First thing they're going to do, they're going to call the police. Or if they live in the rural area, they're going to call the sheriff's department. But you can also see how in this situation where the sheriff, under his or her authority of posse comitatus, if he sees that there's an Army unit that's doing things on the sly, doing things that they're not supposed to do, or doing things that they said they weren't going to do, you can see now how you would potentially have a clash where the sheriff might decide to invoke their authority of posse comitatus and summon up his posse, in this case, the militia. Now, the militia belongs to the states and the people. It is sovereign, the unorganized militia, that is. But it is accepted over hundreds of years of tradition that the commanding officer of the militia in that county is, in fact, the sheriff. And along with him, his deputy sheriffs, and the senior deputies that are under his command. So now you can start seeing how potentially the authority of a sheriff could be in conflict or, in this case, be a buffer, a protector between the people and the military, or, put it another way, a protector and buffer between the people and the government that decides it's going to be tyrannical and start trying to trample on people's God-given rights and our constitutional rights. Now you're seeing why the sheriff, in and of himself, guardians of the Constitution. I'm sure it's starting to get interesting to you right now, folks, isn't it? By the way, folks, this is the Signalis Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 646-478-3229. If you've got something you need to say, question, comment, or concern, just dial that number, hit 1. Little question mark comes up beside your phone number there, and that way I know that you've got a question, comment, or concern for me right here on the air. So don't be shy, folks. You want to speak your piece? You want to put in your 2 cents worth or 5 cents worth or 10 cents worth here on the air? Feel free to do so, even if you don't agree with what I'm saying, because this is a conservative show. We want to hear all points of view. We're not like the liberal shows that only want their narrative spoken on the air. No, not here. If you disagree, by all means, let's hear it. Feel free to voice your opposition. If you agree, by all means, tell me that you agree. Either way, we're getting this information out to everybody. And I thought this particular subject about the sheriff is particularly interesting, and it's particularly relevant to what's going on today, because it's obvious that law and order, there are signs that it is starting to break down in the United States, especially in urban places, in urban cities. Like, look what's happened in Baltimore. And it ain't going to be long before you start seeing things like this. And it's being perpetrated, it's being by the liberal media, because they are in lock, stock, and barrel with Barack Obama. And they're going to do everything they can to insulate him and to further this radical left-wing socialist ideology that all the police are bad. They're only out there to oppress minority groups and those who are helpless, and they don't want to report what's actually going on in the country. We are having a breakdown in societal values. But one of the big things that can bring a country back on the grassroots level is to make sure that you have a sheriff that is constitutional. A sheriff that strictly adheres to the rule of law and the Constitution of the United States. And on that point, it should be noted that their oath is to support and defend the laws of their state or county and the Constitution of the United States. Their oath is not directed as an allegiance to any person, whether it's a president, a senator, a congressman, a governor, whatever. Their oath, like those in the U.S. military, their oath is to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. It's very important that everybody remember that. Now, with the posse comitatus, there was a thing back in the 1850s called the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, and it gave federal marshals in the country the power to summon a posse to apprehend runaway slaves. Now, when you hear the term marshal, you're thinking about a federal officer, a U.S. federal marshal. Now, today, federal marshals primarily deal with fugitive manhunts and the transferring of dangerous criminals to and from courts and correctional institutions. But the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, it was kind of controversial because the posse comitatus was supposed to be where the people of the county participating in self-government by forcing their own laws, but now they were using a federal entity. The federal posse comitatus had been perverted into a weapon that, that transformed the free citizens into the minions of of something that it wasn't supposed to be. So more of the federal army was sometimes used as posse comitatus. So This was in 1850. So now this is one of the big reasons why the Posse Comitatus Act was enacted in 1878, because it was getting out of hand. The sheriffs and stuff were being used in purposes that they were not supposed to be used. In fact, they were trying to supplant them with U.S. Marshals. And during the Reconstruction Act, the presidents of the slave power were turned against itself, so that the federal army was again used as a posse comitatus, this time in the South. Then finally in 1878, the Congress passed the Posse Comitatus Act, and it forbade the use of the army in law enforcement except where expressly authorized by Congress. Unfortunately, the act has been seriously weakened by loopholes created for the drug war beginning in the Reagan administration. And that's, again, that's one of the big problems I have with Ronald Reagan, although I am a Reagan Republican. But they were trying to stretch and tweak Posse Comitatus into something it wasn't supposed to be. Posse Comitatus is very clear. You can't use the infantry, the Army, Marines, Navy. You can't use them as law enforcement. That's why we have law enforcement agencies like your sheriff's department, your local police, your state police. That is the law enforcement, not the military. And that's what Posse Comitatus sought to remedy. And the sheriff is right at the center of that. He is the hub of Posse Comitatus. Now, it should be noted, well, you know, we'll be getting into some of this up in later in the show, where we're going to tie it into why how the Second Amendment comes into this and how this relates to militias. But it should be noted that there are states, okay, actually, just so before I forget to tell you, there are actually, I know for a fact, there are two states in the United States that do not have sheriffs. One of them is the state of Alaska. Alaska doesn't have counties. It's one big entity. And the other one is the state of Connecticut. They abolished the position of sheriff in like in the year 2000. They have now what's called state marshals. So they did away with the office of sheriff, which in my opinion, my considered opinion, was a huge mistake. And I believe one of the reasons that the state of Connecticut did that is because, one, it's a very liberal left-wing state, and number two, they could see that should the people actually elect a constitutional sheriff, that, the people in Hartford were going to have a problem because, once again, sheriffs have a certain amount of autonomy in their county. So, in other words, if the sheriff in that county was to see that the people in Hartford were just acting a complete fool and they were passing laws that were directly violating the people's rights under the Constitution of Connecticut and under the U.S. Constitution, a sheriff would be duty-bound to disobey them because they are trampling on people's constitutional rights. So you could see now that the state of Connecticut was proactive. They could see this coming. They could see things coming down the road, and they decided to get rid of the sheriffs. I want to say hello to one of my other guests that joined the chat room. Hello, Maverick. How you doing there? Glad to see you on the show. Glad you tuned in. Hope you're enjoying it. Well, and Maverick, in case you know, you've missed about almost a half hour of it, but we're talking about the sheriff. And I still see Johnny and Michael still there in the chat room. I call from the 310 and the 323. Glad you're still in there. So anyway, Posse Comitatus and the sheriff's ability to use exactly what Posse Comitatus means, which is the power of the county. And, let's see. Hello again, Maverick. I guess maybe you got a little internet connection problem there. Glad to have you with us, Maverick. Glad you're back in there. Glad you're back in the show. Glad you're there. So anyway, so there's that part of talking about the sheriff and where it came from and a little bit about Posse Comitatus. And I'm sure that everybody is starting to raise an eyebrow now, and you're starting to have a newfound respect and great interest in the office of sheriff of whatever county you happen to be in. Now, not every place. The sheriff's duties, you know, it essentially hasn't changed since the 1600s, 1700s. Now, there are subtle nuances and differences according to, independent, perspective state laws and whatever state you're in as to what the official duties and description of what a sheriff is. Like, for example, you're wondering, okay, how could, under posse comitatus, like what just happened in Baltimore? Well, Baltimore is its own independent city in Maryland. It is the equivalent of a county. So they don't have a sheriff. They have a mayor, a city council, and a police force that was ordered by the mayor to sit there and watch people loot, pillage, destroy, and assault police officers. Had that been, had Baltimore been inside of a county that had a county sheriff, then that sheriff would have had, under their authority, to override the Baltimore City Police Department and go in and put down that uprising on their own. In fact, had they had Baltimore been inside of another county and not a separate, the police in Baltimore would have been completely subordinate to the sheriff of the county. Now, that's something that everybody has to remember. I live in Los Angeles. Los Angeles County is big. You've got the city of Los Angeles. You've got places like big, other big suburbs like Glendale, Santa Monica, Long Beach. But in an emergency, where an emergency is declared in the county, and by the way, the person that declares the emergency in any county is the sheriff. I know this for a fact, because in 1992, I hadn't been in California long, when something called the Rodney King riots started out. I distinctly remember this. It was like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and where I was working, there was this one favorite place I used to go to get a pack of smokes and something to drink. There's a sign on the door that says closed by order of the sheriff, Sherman Block of Los Angeles County. And then I turn on the radio, and then you hear that he has declared a state of emergency in Los Angeles County. Not the mayor of Los Angeles, not the chief of police in Los Angeles, but the sheriff of the county. And he ordered schools to be shut down, kids to be sent home, malls to be closed, liquor stores to be closed, gun and ammo shops to be closed of the sheriff. Now, does that give you an inkling of the authority and the power that a sheriff actually has? And at the time, the sheriff was Sherman Block. That was his name, Sherman Block. But that gives you just an inkling of the authority that a sheriff actually has. And this is under something called posse comitatus, the power of the county. Now you're starting to see, I know now it's really starting to sink into you now, how the sheriff truly is the guardian of the Constitution and the guardian of people's civil liberties and the guardian of people's rights because of their autonomy in the county. Now, obviously, counties, they are subordinate to the governor of the state. That's true. But even at that, in a particular county, the sheriff of that county, be it man or woman, doesn't matter, can declare a state of emergency in their county. And a governor does not have the authority to tell them, no, I'm turning off the state of emergency. No. And then once a sheriff does declare a state of emergency, then he can call the governor and request assistance, say, the National Guard or state police or be whatever it be, state defense force. But it gives you an idea of the absolute authority that a sheriff has under something called posse comitatus. And see, Michael, what was it you'll be having lunch with him next week, with your county sheriff? And also in the Colorado militia. You know something, Michael? I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because later on in the show, there's something about the state of Colorado that I'm going to tell everybody here on the show concerning the sheriff's departments in about 17 counties that's probably going to blow your mind. But it is an absolute fact, and you're going to love it. You're going to love this about the state of Colorado, and you're going to ask yourself why more states don't have this. Well, actually, I believe there are some that do. They just don't have it as well organized as Colorado does. I know you're saying, like, well, Sid, what are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? Well, trust me, we're going to be getting to that about the sheriffs in 17 counties, you know, the sheriff's department's in 17 counties in Colorado, and it's going to be something very interesting to you. Well, folks, we're going to take a little break here and play a little music for you, and then we'll be back in about 3 minutes or so. So stay tuned. Be sure to stay tuned right here on the Signala Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio, the New Colony Network, and we'll be back shortly. So enjoy. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Signala Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. That was the Charlie Daniels Band way back in the late 70s, early 80s. You remember when the Iranian hostage crisis was going on? Okay, y'all remember that? Those of us that are old enough to remember that. Well, that's when that song came out. And why I play that song? Because in my continuing effort to piss off the liberals and the left who hate patriotic music, Christian music, and music that, well, quite frankly, music that makes sense, they don't like that. So, oh, and by the way, I want to take this opportunity to thank all of the ABC agencies in Washington, D.C. that are listening to the show. That would be the FBI, the NSA, the IRS, the DHS, and the UPS, and DOAL, COD, or whoever else is listening. Thank you for listening to the show. I just want to acknowledge you that I know you're listening. Anyway, so now I've told you the origins of the word of the sheriff. I've talked to you about posse comitatus, the power of the county, and the sheriff's authority to summon the power of the county, because that's what posse comitatus means. And I know Michael's probably chomping at the bits there because he knows, you know, about Colorado, because there's something very unique about Colorado. Well, it's really not unique. Well, it is and then it isn't. Well, we'll get into it concerning Colorado. Now, posse comitatus, the sheriff, as the guardian of the Constitution and guardian of liberty, their power to summon Posse Comitatus, the power of the county. In other words, to call up his posse, or in this case, we'll go ahead and call it, call up the militia, the armed citizenry of the county. But there's something that enables, not just his authority, but there's something that enables a sheriff to be able to summon Posse Comitatus. Would you care to guess what that is? Something, it's like a prerequisite. Without it, the posse is useless. All you got is another bunch of guys running around going, which way did they go? Something called the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, which says that a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Bingo! Now I'm sure it's starting to make sense to you now. For a sheriff to have an effective posse or militia, for his ability to summon his authority under Posse Comitatus, you have to be able to call up armed citizenry. Armed meaning citizens that have weapons. Aha! Now it's starting to make sense to you now concerning the sheriff, Posse Comitatus, and the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. Ah, I bet you're lifting some eyebrows now, isn't it, folks? It would be pointless to call up a posse that is unarmed. For it to work, it has to be armed. Now, sheriffs have autonomy. They can decide who they're going to call up, what kind of weapons they're going to carry, and how many people he wishes to call up, he or she wishes to call up. So, by the way, hello, Johnny Gibb. So you left the room there for a little while. So anyway, glad to have you back. Glad you have you back with the show. Anyway, the Second Amendment of the Constitution in the United States, the sheriff of your county, this is why it's so important, again, that the sheriff of your county be constitutional. In other words, a sheriff that will fight to defend our Second Amendment rights to the nth degree. Because a sheriff that has any common sense at all, a sheriff that is even worth the air that they breathe, will know that if he has an armed citizenry on his side, then he will be a much more effective sheriff because he has the support of the people and the people have his support. It's a two-way street because sheriffs also know that since they're elected, if they veer away from the Constitution and don't protect people's rights, they get voted out of office the next time it comes up. They get replaced. In other words, they get fired. They get the pink slip. But that's one of the reasons why sheriffs stay in their position a lot longer than police chiefs do, because they're elected by the people. If the people are happy with them, they'll stay in until at such time as the people deem it necessary to vote them out, or that sheriff decides to retire. Either way, we're back to the same thing. The sheriff is elected by the people, and he cannot enforce his powers under Posse Comitatus without an armed citizenry. And to have an armed citizenry, there has to be strict adherence and respect to the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, and that is the right of the people to keep and bear arms. It was true in 1600 and something. It was true in the 1700s during the Revolutionary War. It was the same thing right in the years leading up to the Civil War, and it has been the same thing since then. The right of the people to keep and bear arms. It is a tremendous asset for the sheriff of any county that strictly adheres to the Constitution. It is a tremendous asset for them to employ to do their job effectively, and to bring the people involved to his aid to restore peace, law and order, and defense of people's constitutional rights. Now you see why the Second Amendment is so very, very important, both to the sheriff and to the people, and why a sheriff that is constitutional is absolutely critical. If, in my considered opinion, when you vote for sheriff, oh, that's okay, Maverick. No problem. No problem, Maverick. Just one of my guests there. Glad to see you still in there, though. Hey, it's why it's critical that your sheriff strictly adhere to the Constitution. Because when they adhere to the Constitution and they respect the Constitution and the people's rights under the Constitution, they will be a much more effective sheriff. And if need be, the sheriff will have the support of the people, and he knows that he will have citizenry that is well-armed or citizenry that is capable of being armed to his specification and the amount that he needs. And understand, in autonomy, the sheriff has unlimited power as to how many people he's going to call up and what kind of weapons they're going to carry. Now, traditionally, posses have been very small. There have been some exceptions when an armed citizenry where a lot of people were called up. You know, as a matter of history, large posses have been used only in exceptional circumstances, like such as when the serial killer Ted Bundy, you know, when he escaped from the Pitkin County Aspen jail in 1977, or in the manhunt for a pair of criminals who murdered Sheriff of Hinsdale County in 1994. In both those situations, the posse proved decisive in preventing the killers from leaving the county. Now, that right there shows you how effective the sheriff's power under posse comitatus can be. They effectively bottled in and contained dangerous fugitives and killers from escaping a specified area. And the only way that the sheriff could have did that was enlisting the aid of armed citizenry to his aid, which is his right. And if the sheriff requests your help, you should consider it an honor and a privilege to do so. Because the sheriff of your county, the chief civilian authority in your county, is asking for your help. And understand, when the sheriff calls you up into the posse, you're no longer a citizen. You are, in fact, a deputy sheriff now. You're being deputized. You now have the power to detain, arrest, and to use force if need be. And that's one of the reasons. But it all can't happen if you don't have citizens, that have the right to bear arms. So now you can see why the Second Amendment is so incredibly important with this, why it is so very, very important to the sheriff and to the people. So enough said about that. So now you can see how the Second Amendment has tied into all of this. And I'm glad you did. Now, I'm glad I was able to make that clear. Fellows in the chat room, Johnny, Michael, Maverick, have I made that clear? Have I sufficiently explained to everybody why the Second Amendment is so incredibly important to the sheriff and their powers under posse comitatus? Have I explained it? Because I think I have. And my caller from the 310, the 323, once again, I want to thank you guys for calling in and listening to my show. My faithful listeners there from the 310 and the 323 area code, I'm glad that you called in and listened to the show, because I'm sure you're finding it's very, very interesting about your county sheriff. Okay, Maverick, good. I'm glad you got it. Hey, Michael. Don't worry, Michael. I haven't forgot about what we were saying about the state of Colorado. No, don't worry, because I know you're chopping at the bits. I know you're chopping at the bits, Michael. I know that you're going to say, well, come on, Sig, you got to get to it. You got to get to it. Because it really is going to be a great eye-opener for a lot of people when I talk about what actually goes on in the state of Colorado today as we speak. It's not opinion. It's not rumor. It's not conjecture or speculation. It is absolute fact about 17 counties in the state of Colorado and their adherence and respect for tradition, for posse comitatus, and the Second Amendment. Now, I told everybody, you know, the show's supposed to go 2 hours tonight, but I don't think it's going to go 2 hours because we're moving along with this, and it's, you know, it's taking shape, and it's coming together pretty quick here. And plus, you know, if shows go on too long, people tend to start getting a little bit bored with it, so that's why we're going to press on with this. Now, I've already told you about where the word sheriff came from. I've described to you what posse comitatus is. Now I have showed you why it is so incredibly important that your sheriff be constitutional because of something called the Second Amendment, our right to keep and bear arms, because the ability of a posse to be effective is it all centers around the fact that you have to have a posse that is capable of being armed, an armed citizenry. And I'm going to say this once again. I firmly believe, because of men like the sheriffs of days of old and even today, and because of our Second Amendment, and because of something called the militia, it's the reason why the United States has never been invaded by a foreign army. Taking on 2 or 3 or 4 million of our military is one thing. But now when you're going to have to take on 30 or 40 million heavily armed Americans, completely different animal. Wouldn't you guys say so? Wouldn't you guys say so? I'm sure you would. Because remember, a very high-ranking Japanese military officer back in World War II was asked, after Pearl Harbor, how come you just go ahead and invade the West, Pacific coast of the United States? He said, are you crazy? In America, behind every blade of grass, there's a gun. He knew what was going to happen to them. He knew it. His invasion force would have got cut down right there on the coast, right off the coast of Santa Monica, California, or right off the coast of Washington State, or Oregon, or Northern Cal, or Southern Cal. It would have been a suicide mission for them, because Americans will defend their homeland. And one of the mainstays of the defense of the United States, and one of the mainstays that made this country great, with law and order and the adherence to the rule of law and the strict adherence to the Constitution of the United States, is the sheriff. That's right, your county sheriff. They are the guardians of the Constitution. They are the guardians of liberty. They are our frontline defense, tyranny and oppression from a government that decides it's going to try to trample on everybody's rights. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take another little break here, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to tie all of this in with something called the militia. And don't worry, Michael, we're going to get to what I'm saying right after the break. Folks, this is the Signalis Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 646-478-3229. And I'll just remind you, you can all email me if you want to. All lowercase letters run together, thesignalisshow@gmail.com. Be glad to hear from you, hear what you got to say, even if you disagree with me. So anyway, folks, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. So anyway, stay tuned right here on the Signalis Show, Blog Talk Radio.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I've worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my family by my side, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and you can't take that away. And I'm proud.
Oh, yeah. That was Beyonce singing the Lee Greenwood song, you know, about America. And it's another song that the liberals and the left absolutely hate because it's patriotic. And what really burns them up, this is one of theirs that was singing it. And she's got a beautiful voice anyway. God Bless the USA. That was Beyonce. And what a beautiful voice she does have. Well, folks, without further ado, and I know, Michael, you've been waiting for this. I've been telling you, I've been mentioning something that is important, unique about the state of Colorado. Believe it or not, folks, there are 17 county sheriff offices in the state of Colorado that have organized posses. Let me say it again. 17 counties in the state of Colorado have organized posses. In other words, there are 17 sheriffs in the state of Colorado that at any given time, they already have an organized posse. And the posse service is not a matter of being summoned, but it's actually of volunteering. Because remember, the people in the posse don't get paid for that. They consider it an honor and a privilege to be in the posse, much like it should be an honor and a privilege and a duty to serve on jury duty, serve on a grand jury. Why would you want to say no to your county sheriff? If they are constitutional, they're out there putting their life, him and his deputies are putting their life on the line for you every single day, 24/7, 365. And if the sheriff was to ask you for your help, why would you refuse them? Because if you did, then you're either a coward or you're not patriotic at all. Having said that, it's not a matter of joining, it's being something but a volunteering. The volunteers that are in these posses, they are very highly trained. They're trained to very high standards by the sheriff. To the extent that these posses, they need to be armed at any given time. And the sheriff, once again, on his autonomy and his authority under posse comitatus, has the complete discretion in this matter. What kind of guns they're going to have, how many, so on and so forth. And these posse members provide their own arms. And remind you, now, does the term militia, you know, go back to the Militia Act 1792, how everybody's required to have their own horse, their own gun, their own black powder, you know, lead to make their ammunition, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Starting to make sense now. Posse members provide their own arms, and according to the sheriff's guidelines. In other words, he's not just going to allow them to carry any kind of weapon. He's going to specify what kind of weapons they can carry or not carry. Either way, the sheriff has that he has that authority and that autonomy to do that. And posses provide a wide-ranging service, everything from gate security at a county fair to assistance in hostage situations and high-risk arrests, i.e., fugitive manhunts like for Ted Bundy and other things like that. Michael, is that what you thought I was going to talk about? Was that what you thought I was going to talk about? Because I'm sure you was chomping at the bits. But this is actually the fact of the matter in the state of Colorado. There are 17 sheriffs in Colorado. They have organized posses at any given time. Just a set of phone calls, he can summon his posse. It might be 10, 20 guys, 30 guys, 50 guys. It might be a couple of hundred guys. Now, how does the sheriff figure into the militia? These 17 counties in Colorado are a prime example of it, where he has men that are already summoned, vetted, checked, trained, more or less like a select militia, but they come from the whole of the people. Traditionally, the sheriff of the county is the commander of the unorganized militia in that county. Now, understand, the sheriff's authority only applies to the county where he was elected. It does not apply to the county to the north of him, to the south of him, to the east or the west. No. His authority under posse comitatus or any other applicable state or federal law is only in his county, his or her county. We've got to be politically correct here because there are a lot of female sheriffs. All right? Well, Michael, what did you think I was going to talk about Colorado? Did you think I was going to talk about those 17 counties and how they have organized posses? Because I'm sure you knew that. You just probably forgot. You probably thought I was going somewhere else with it. Hey, that's what discussion's all about here, Michael, you know. But anyway, the militia, the unorganized militia, And I did, I don't know how many shows about the militia, delineating the actual six classes of the militia. The sheriff of the county is generally accepted. In fact, he is. He is in command of the unorganized militia in their county. Now, that doesn't mean that militia units can't form and train and educate themselves. It's just that in an actual call-up, the sheriff of the county has that autonomy and that authority under posse comitatus to do so. And once again, what good does it do him to summon up a militia if they're not armed? Hence our Second Amendment. And since we're talking about the militia, the sheriff is in direct command of the militia in their county. And as I said just a minute ago, it doesn't mean that militia units can't form and can't train and educate themselves to be ready for when the sheriff does decide to call them up. Now, you're probably asking yourself, well, why is it called militia? Isn't he just actually summoning a posse? No. There is a subtle difference. The sheriff's posse are being summoned. They have more or less specific uses. Say, that, you know, the most outstanding use of a posse is a manhunt. In this case, like Ted Bundy and some of the other ones, they contained an area. They were out there to do a very specific purpose. Now, the militia of the United States, you know, the people, you know, the unorganized militia, there are four basic tasks for the unorganized militia. One is to enforce the laws. One is to keep the peace, put down insurrections. Another is to guard against foreign invasion. And the most important reason for the militia's existence is to stand as a counter to a federal army that has become tyrannical, or they are a counter to a federal government that has decided it's going to be tyrannical and start trampling on people's constitutional rights. Now I'm sure you see the subtle little difference between the posse and the militia. Yes, they're both armed. Yes, they are both subordinate and subject to the authority of the sheriff of the county. That's true. So hopefully now I have tied all of this in for you. The sheriff, posse comitatus, the Second Amendment, and the militia. And I've gave you some examples that sheriffs actually use their authority, posse comitatus, and use their authority as the sheriff of the county, such as what I told you about the state of Colorado. Was that John? You went to CARES, you mean the Council of American Islamic Relations on Facebook, and they blocked you. You asked about women's rights. Well, John, what do you expect about Muslims? We treat our pets better than they treat their women. So that shouldn't surprise you at all. See, was that Michael? Okay, so you guys knows about my militia, but we cover a larger area than just my county. Well, that may be true, Michael. In other words, that's a fine line. But, you know, basically, the sheriff in your county, all right, your county sheriff, he has control over the militia inside of his county borders. Now, if your particular unit has people in the next county over, now they're subject to the sheriff of that county. National militia standards. And also with Sheriff Posse Comitatus. Folks, that's the Signalis Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 646-478-3229. And I was just talking to one of my guests there in the chat room. Instead of typing in, I just addressed him personally there. So what was that, Michael? There's a lot you'd like to tell you, but do you need more time? Well, of course, you know what, Michael? I'm going to be doing other shows about this. Yeah, we're going to stay on the topic here. Trust me, Michael. I'm sure you got a lot to say about it, you know, concerning the militias, right? And by the way, it should be noted, militias units are a lot like posses. Now, militia units are local and independent. Yes, inside the county, they are subordinate to the sheriff of the county. Militia units are no more than maybe 50, maybe at the most 200 people in one unit. They're local and independent. All right, yes, they do need to form alliances and get along with other militia units. That way you have a cohesion. In that sense, they're a lot like a posse, where they're a smaller unit, where they're more manageable. But posses are summoned up for a very specific purpose. In other words, more and more, quote unquote, a law enforcement type purpose. Whereas a militia would be more in the defense protect mode against invasion. And it's conceivable that militias could be called up in the case of a state of general unrest, like a riot or something like that, to contain a riot from getting past a certain line of debarkation. That I can see. But once again, this all falls under the authority of the sheriff of the county. Right there. Now, there is something that needs to be noted. As I'm sure a lot of people – now, a guy came up to me. He came up to me and he asked me. He says, well, Sig, what do I have to do to join the militia? I said, are you 18 years old? Yes. Are you a citizen of the United States? Yeah. I said, you're already in the militia. He said, what? I said, yeah. 10 U.S.C. 311. Google it. Read it. This includes the liberals. You would be surprised that when you talk to a liberal about the militia, they think that they are excluded, that they are not part of it, that it doesn't apply to them. This shows the level of ignorance and or arrogance that they have. And then when you show them in black and white, they're like deer in the headlights. You know, you've seen the pictures of, you know, deer cross the road, that car's headlights hit them, and they just freeze right there. The eyes get about the size of a shot glass, and they just freeze and look right there at the car while the car runs them over. That's what their face is. That's what their facial expression is when you show them the facts. And remember something. It's very important to remember this. Liberals cannot argue a point based on facts. They argue everything on knee-jerk emotion and whichever way the political winds are blowing that day. In other words, what feels good today? What can we get past people today? I.e., you know, a la Bill Clinton, the Schleichmeister. What can we get past them today? But the fact of the matter is, if you are a man and you are over the age of 18, or as specified in 10 U.S.C. 311, between 18 and 45, if you are a citizen of the United States, or a person who has declared their intent to be a citizen, you're already in the militia. But the militia also includes women, the elderly, and the younger. Those are called reserve militia. Because the militia comes from the people. The militia is the people. It is the whole body of the people. And the militia does not discriminate. It cannot, by definition or nature, discriminate. And believe it or not, there is something called the National Militia Standards. It's a set of rules and guidelines and ethics that's much akin to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The militia is not just a roaming gang of thugs. There is a structure. There is a protocol. There are ethics. And there are consequences for violating those ethics. And one of the things in the National Militia Standards is knowing that you are subordinate to the sheriff of the county. And once again, this is why it is so very, very important. In fact, it's critical that the sheriff that you elect be constitutional, that they strictly adhere and uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. But before I sign off tonight, the liberals, as I said, seem to think that these laws that appear to restrict the rights of conservatives and libertarians do not apply to them. So I'm going to read you something from the state codes of three well-known liberal states. And this has a direct correlation to the sheriff and their authority. And these are liberal states. Let's start with the state of Massachusetts. I'm sure you're all interested to hear this. Michael, you're an Oath Keeper, Michael, U.S. Navy. God bless you, sir. God bless you. And thank you for your service, Michael. Thank you for your service. I want to say that on the air to you right now. Thank you so much for your service to the country and the United States Navy. Thank you so much, sir. Let's start with the state of Massachusetts. What do they say about the authority of a sheriff inside the state of Massachusetts? What could it be? Liberals don't think that these exist in liberal states. Well, Massachusetts Law, Chapter 37, Section 13, states, quote, the sheriff, they may require suitable aid in the execution of their office in a criminal case, in the preservation of the peace, in the apprehending or securing of a person for a breach of the peace, and in cases of escape or rescue of persons arrested upon civil process. Now, what that meant is that the sheriff may require suitable aid from the people in executing some of these law functions here. In criminal cases, preservation of the peace, in other words, where you have a state of civil unrest like riots and stuff like that, apprehending or securing of a person for breach of the peace, in other words, you've got a fugitive out there on the land, he needs a lot of people to cover a big ground in a hurry, he can, a sheriff in the state of Massachusetts can enlist the aid of armed citizenry to his aid in performing this function. And this is right out of Massachusetts Law, Chapter 37, Section 13. As liberal and left-leaning a state as Massachusetts is. What do you got to say to that, liberals? I bet the cats really got their tongue now. I bet that they seriously got a problem now. You know, Michael, I agree. I never served in the military, Michael, but I tell you this. I am part of a militia unit. I'm a comms officer, advisor for communications. I'm a licensed ham radio operator, and I do what I can to help the militia units set up their communications. Now, let's go to another well-known liberal state, the state of New York, the Empire State. New York Judicial Law, Section 400. Now, I'm reading, now, folks, understand, I'm not making this up. This comes straight out of their... This comes straight out of their penal codes and criminal codes and their state codes. New York Judicial Law Section 400 states, quote, if a sheriff to whom a mandate is directed and delivered finds or has reason to apprehend that resistance will be made to the execution thereof, he may command all persons in his county or as many as he thinks proper and with such arms as he directs to assist him in overcoming the resistance and, if necessary, in arresting and confining the resistors, their aiders and abettors, to be dealt with according to law. That is even more direct to the point than the laws in the state of Massachusetts. It clearly states that he has the discretion to use as many people as he wants, how he's going to arm them in overcoming the resistance, and moreover, it states that in helping them to arrest, confine, resistors, their aiders and abettors, in other words, that's the people that help the criminals escape and hide and stuff, to be dealt with according to law. That's even more upfront about the power of a sheriff. And this is in a liberal state like New York. I bet you the liberals that listen to this show on download are probably going to be choking on their coffee or their martini, whatever they're drinking. You know? I bet you, was it during host also, Michael? What, are you a host here on Block Talk? Okay, well, anyway, that's from New York. Now, I live in the state of California. It's almost hard. Well, I guess Massachusetts and New York are probably the only states I know of that are more left-leaning than California. What does the state of California have to say about the authority of a sheriff? You're wondering. California Government Code 26604. The sheriff shall command the aid of as many inhabitants of the sheriff's county. You remember I said the sheriff only has the authority in the county in which they were elected. Inhabitants of the sheriff's county as he or she, now you notice they're being politically correct out here in California, which I agree, thinks necessary in the execution of his or her duties. If any person under any pretense of any claim inconsistent with the sovereignty and jurisdiction of the state intrudes upon any of the waste or ungranted lands of the state, the governor shall direct the sheriff of the county to remove the intruder. The sheriff may call to his aid the power of the county, i.e. posse comitatus, as in the cases of resistance to the writs of the people. That is pretty straightforward, wouldn't you say, folks? Even in, my email, Michael, it is, I'm going to type it in for you. It is the Signalis Show at gmail.com. There it is. That was pretty straightforward. This is straight out of the California Government Code. Now you see that everything I've been telling you about the power and the authority and the autonomy of the county sheriff is absolutely true. Now, if it's this If the government codes in these liberal left-wing states say this, then you know, you can only imagine what it says in the state codes of the conservative states, especially the southern states like Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Georgia, the Carolinas. You can imagine the straightforwardness of the duties of a sheriff in those states. So I believe I've made my point about this tonight. And I've also believed that I have tied in posse comitatus, the Second Amendment, and the militia, and how it's all very important to the office of sheriff of whatever county you live in. It's extremely critical. And I've also demonstrated to you, which I firmly believe, why it is so critical, why it is an absolute must that the sheriff that you elect, whether it's a man or a woman, regardless of their political affiliation, regardless of their race or ethnicity, that they be constitutional. And when I say constitutional, I'm talking about a person that will strictly adhere and honor and uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, our Bill of Rights, and more importantly, in my opinion, firmly defend the Second Amendment of the Constitution, which is our right to keep and bear arms. Because as I said earlier in the show, any sheriff that has any common sense will know that should the need arise, that he has to have help from the citizenry, they have to be able to have an armed citizenry. And the reason we have armed citizenry is because of our Second Amendment rights under the Constitution. By the way, an amendment that the Supreme Court has already ruled predates the right of the people to keep and bear arms, actually predates the U.S. Constitution, because that is a fundamental right of the people. Straight from SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States. So now you can see why the sheriff, in relation to posse comitatus, the Second Amendment, and their ability to summon a posse and to command the militia in their county, is absolutely important, and why it is so critical. In fact, it's absolutely essential that your sheriff be constitutional. Because once again, the way to bring America back to greatness is from the bottom up. You have to build the foundation. It does you no good to build this grand skyscraper and build it on top of shifting sand. Getting back to our Judeo-Christian principles and the teachings of our Lord, you have to build the foundation upon the rock. Something solid, unmovable. That is why it is so critically important that we start the change in America at the grassroots level. That is your city and your county, and most importantly, your sheriff. It's absolutely critical. Folks, I want to thank you all for tonight for tuning in to this Acknowledge Show. My caller from the 310 and the 323, thank you so much for calling in. You've been in the whole show, and I certainly do appreciate it. Michael, it's been a pleasure talking to you here in the chat room. Michael, if you're saying somebody would like to, you'd like to host a show with Fred, it's probably, no, they're not going to do that. Just email me, Michael, and I'll talk to you. I'll give you some pointers on how to do it. I'll be glad to give you some pointers to help you along here on Blog Talk Radio. No problem. That's one of the reasons I'm here. I consider it an honor and a privilege to get on here every week and speak to my fellow Americans about the issues that involve us and that are the most important to us. I don't get paid for this because, as I said, I feel it's my honor and privilege and my duty to get the word out and try to restore our country back to its greatness, getting back to the principles of our founding fathers, our Judeo-Christian principles, and just the principles of flat common sense. Anyway, folks, thank you for tuning in this week. Michael, just shoot me an email. I answer all my emails myself. Johnny, shoot me an email. It's the Signalis Show. You can see there, it's the Signalis Show, all run together, thesignalisshow@gmail.com. And feel free to, one of these times, guys, call in, 646-478-3229. And when you get on there, just press 1 and then your number there, and I'll know that you got a question, comment, or concern. And okay, Johnny, I am glad to, you know, that you enjoyed the show. Hey, Aswam here. I'm glad to have you with us. I consider it an honor and privilege to talk to you guys and to get the word out. So, hey, be sure to tell your friends and family about the show, folks. And once again, the Signalis Show, all lowercase letters, the Signalis Show at gmail.com. And, well, just for fun, guys, tell some of the liberals to tune into my show if you want to see them, like, you know, have a conniption or have a heart attack. You know, it's funny to watch them start stuttering whenever you hit them with a fact and they can't counter it anyway. So, folks, I'll be back on next Tuesday. We might be talking some more about the sheriff, but I can guarantee you this. Whatever the subject matter is, it's going to be something that's critically important to all of us as citizens of the United States. Because remember one thing, and this is something that all of us should be grateful for, regardless of who you are or what you do. We are very fortunate, by the grace of God, to be born an American. Some people in the world are not that fortunate. We also happen to be fortunate in the fact that we were born into a country that was founded on Judeo-Christian principle. I'm sorry, Muslims, you never figured into the fabric of America, and you never will. That's not who we are. That's not what we do. We do not treat our women folk like you treat yours, because we have God-given mandates of acceptable and unacceptable behavior. So, folks, anyway, just wanted to throw that in here. May God bless all of you in your endeavors and whatever you do. And we hope to see you back here next week on the Signalis Show. And until then, God bless you. God bless America. God bless our Constitution. And we'll see you next week right here on the Signalis Show, New Colony Network and Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you next Tuesday. Thank you.